Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find the berkshireedge.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And hopefully when I turn this on, it'll be David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this the famous Marshall?
It is. And
is this David and Marcy?
I was getting a message. The phone is busy.
Yes, we realized that one of the receivers was off the hook.
Uh-huh. Well, at least
in use, so sorry.
At least we got to the bottom of it.
Yes, and we got up just for this. So we're trying to take it a little easy this week, but...
Well,
we would have been very disappointed up for nothing.
All right. Well, anyway, this is the last one for the year, and it's amazing. Another year has gone by so quickly.
They go faster and faster. They do.
But sometimes the stories stay the same. But this time, we start off at the top of the list, which is something we've been talking about not this year, but for many years. Now, the Mass DEP is getting impatient with the Housatonic Water Works. That's the company, of course, that delivers not satisfactory water to the residents of Housatonic.
Completely unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
I mean, we should say that this year has seen an uprising of Housatonic Water Works customers. This water has been bad for years, and people have sort of quietly taken it and figured out alternatives.
This is a private company running a public water system. It's not a town system. It's not part of the greater Great Barrington town water system. It's a privately owned system.
And it's a privately owned system that makes considerable profit for its owners. They take out a good bit of cash every year while delivering to their customers water that is brown and disgusting, and people are afraid to cook with it or drink it or bathe in it. And they can't do their laundry in it because it stains their clothes red. It's just awful. And so really, the big story, we have updated a little bit in this story that the Department of Environmental Protection is now requiring Housatonic Water Works to conduct more tests to see whether there are certain acid violations in its water system. Haloacetic acid.
Yeah, contaminant, yeah.
Whether those exist in violation in its water system. But really the story of the year is that people are not, you know, there have been demonstrations in downtown Great Barrington. There are road signs all over Great Barrington, Housatonic, and beyond, that people have the right to clean water. So this is the latest in an ongoing story, and we will see what happens in 2023, but there aren't a lot of options.
No, but you know, I've been seeing different stories at the BerkshireEdge.com and other places. I mean, you've got Aquarian, which took over Falls Village's water here in Connecticut.
That's right.
Didn't they also just take over Sheffield as well?
Yep, they did.
I mean, and there was even...
So there are alternatives here.
Yeah, there was even a quote saying from the company, I think, that they were either interested or looking at it. I just don't understand why this can't be really pursued now by the town, by the state, forcing a sale of this company.
Well, I don't know. I mean, our select board has been meeting about this time and again. You know, Housatonic is a village in the town of Great Barrington, so that it's the Great Barrington Select Board that has been looking into it. But I don't know. I mean, I gather the owners, the Mercers, the owners of the Housatonic Water Works, are not interested in selling.
Well, they're not interested in providing good water either. That's where the state should step in.
Well, yeah,
they really should. I'm not ever really for eminent domain unless it it's something like this where push comes to shove, and really people's health and people's stability comes into matter.
Yeah.
That this is a pure case of eminent domain, of being able to step in. For gosh sake, they're going to sell the company and make money. It's not like, you know, if they do it, eminent domain, the state can just come in and take it away.
Well, the state hasn't done that yet. I mean, Mass DEP is... is asking for tests. They're not taking over the company.
Well,
I guess that is
hopefully a year from now.
Place to look.
Hopefully, a year from now, we're not still talking about possibly taking over the company.
let's mark our words when we talk.
Well, I hate to remind you that a year ago we were talking about this very same thing.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing. It's absolutely
amazing. Yes, I know.
Well, you know, the problem here is that Jim Mercer, the man who owns this water system, is an influential guy in town. That's why nothing's been done. I think the town is just afraid to go up against him.
Well, hopefully that'll change.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it really will. I want to move on, and that is at West Stockbridge. The planning board approved a special permit for the foundry to continue, but this is all quiet on the Western Front. This is more like a truce than an actual.
Because it's winter.
Yeah.
Well, should we review briefly for listeners?
Go ahead, Marcy.
There is a. A performance space in West Stockbridge called the Foundry, which is which also owns some land around its building, where they've been having outdoor performances in the summer. There is a nearby restaurant called Trucks Orient Express, which has complained that the noise from the Foundry's performances is ruining its business and driving away customers because of the noise. And that there has been a really heated debate in West Stockbridge about, you know, whether or not the Foundry should be allowed to continue. We have been in close touch with the planning board and with the director of the planning board, who has really shepherded this conversation through in the face of pressure from both sides. We've gotten lots of letters to the editors from primarily supporters of Trucks Orient Express, taking her side and saying that, this is ruining the town of West Stockbridge and it's too noisy and, abutters are complaining. According to the planning board, most of the letters have been in favor of the foundry. many artists, including the high school groups, have written to say that there is, thanks to the foundry, there's a place for them to perform and many. Local businesses have supported the foundry to say that it's bringing people into downtown West Stockbridge, and so it's great for business. But it's been very heated, and actually, it began to look during the winter or during the discussion that the foundry would not get a permit. But the planning board has given them a special permit so they can continue to host social events and concerts outdoors. There have been certain requirements that there's a certain decibel level that has to be respected. But in the end, the foundry has been given permission, and I know that there are a lot of people that are very happy about this in West Stockbridge, and there will be apparently a minority who are going to be very unhappy. I was surprised because I actually spoke to the head of the planning board, is an architect in West Stockbridge named Dana Bixby, and she called us yesterday, and it was the first time that I realized that the support for the foundry had really been much, you know, much higher than I had expected, because we had gotten letters. I mean, there's apparently a much more organized campaign among the opponents to write letters against the foundry, but that the overwhelming amount of support and the overwhelming numbers of letters and emails had been in support of the foundry. So the West Stockbridge Planning Board really should be congratulated for finding a solution which they can live with and which apparently most of the town is happy about. But as David said, it is quiet, or one of you said, quiet on the Western Front, because it's winter and the outdoor events are not taking place at the moment. When they start up in the warm weather, we'll see how quiet this town is, and whether the fight starts again.
And what's going to happen, because one of the stories I read at the BerkshireRegister.com on this, decibels is going to play a big part of this, a certain
yes.
decibel level. And the problem is, everybody can, you can go out and you can buy a meter. It's not expensive to check decibels.
Right.
But you need a control point. And I, if anybody's listening, if you want to check on the levels when there's a concert, you have to take a level and have it written in stone. What they call a comparison level. When you're standing out there and there's no concert, you take the decibel level, and then once the concert starts, you take it twice. And then when the concert's over, you take it again. And then you bring that in, because now that is now a scientific experiment that shows control. You've got before and after and during. And that's going to happen. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think that Truck supporters will be out there measuring decibel levels the minute, you know, chairs get set up outside.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's not over, because it's very hard, especially when it's outdoors, to measure what decibels are like. What's the wind blowing like that day? There's a million different things. What's the leaf coverage? I mean, there's so many different things that will affect the decibels, and also road traffic. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to follow and see if this can hold
it
through
is.
The summer.
And I understand Chuck's concern about her restaurant because she's had a number of problems. One was that the road that leads to her restaurant, which is owned by the town, was shut off. It was closed, and people were having trouble actually driving to the restaurant. The only route to the restaurant was across the land that the foundry owns. So that was the first fight she had to fight to get access, you know, to allow cars to have access to her restaurant. And then, of course, there was the issue of the sound. So it's been a tough slog for her. She wants to keep her restaurant going. But as I say, I must congratulate the planning board and Dana Bixby, its chair, because they have, you know, they have tried to keep these procedures intelligent and correct, and to try to find a solution that works for everybody. So it's really, and these are all sort of citizen volunteers, you know, who have taken on this tough job.
We'll move on to the next story, because this is a little different. It's a profile on an attorney who founded the Berkshire Center for Justice.
Oh, yes, Eve Schatz.
David, why don't you talk about
her? Yeah, she has founded this institution where she can provides legal services to those who can't afford it.
Freely.
Freely, yeah. She's been doing this since 2006, 15 years. It's a really important option for people who cannot afford legal services. She also provides legal clinics each week at the Guthrie Center for people who are, you know, might be unfamiliar with how to secure legal help. And so it's been, she's really, you know, we don't have here a system that other states have.
Legal
aid for people who are unable to afford a lawyer but need one to defend themselves in various issues. So she's providing it.
And she also, you know, our reporter, Shaw Israel Isaacson, reports that the need for services really increased over the past 2 years since the COVID pandemic started. And that Eve is reporting that there, there's been a lot more need for legal services about housing issues, and this has created a kind of emergency in landlord and tenant law. They're seeing an increase in elderly clients who've lost spouses or life partners, and they've ended up having one income instead of two, and they can't find a place to live, or they can't afford, you know, the homes that they've been living in. So she's, they have been especially working to help tenants understand their rights. She said there's also been a rise in divorce cases since the pandemic started, an increase in the number of marriages dissolving. And that brings up questions of child custody and support and also where to live. I mean, if you're a resident with a low income and you split up, I mean, now you have two people with even lower incomes trying to find places to live. So these are the kinds of, these are the kinds of things that the Center for Berkshire Center for Justice is working on, and it's all, they have 24 attorneys. It's all pro bono.
We're donating their time.
And the organization also is trying to raise money, of course, to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I do also want to say, you know, that we have at the Edge have been making a practice of doing profiles of businesses in the Berkshires, both for-profit and non-profit. We've been doing, this is not one of our Business Monday articles, but we have in the last several months, and we're going to continue to do more of this. On Monday, we are doing business articles on Mondays, and part of what we've been doing is in-depth looks at Berkshire businesses, as I said, both for-profit and non-profit. So this would be the kind of article that we would do. And last week we did one. We did a wonderful article on Guido's. Famous Guido's and the fact that the next generation of Macieros is taking over the business from the two brothers who started it. Not yet, but...
They started it as a vegetable stand.
Yes, right. And now the Great Barrington store has more than doubled in size. It's really quite formidable. And there are all kinds of people wandering around there lost, because everybody who shops there was used to a different layout, and now nobody can find anything. But little by little, I mean, people are getting used to it. But it is, we are doing, very interesting profiles of businesses that you may be familiar with, but you may really not know very much about.
All right. I want to move on to your next story because it ties in with Crescendo. Was going to present two concerts this weekend, but there's been a sickness, so they're going to postpone the concerts, and they're going to come up the first weekend
in January.
January.
January, yeah.
Yeah, we thought we would mention that because Crescendo performs both in Great Barrington
yes.
and in Lakeville.
Yeah, and so that's been put off, but you do have Berkshire Bach presenting a Baroque concerto.
Right. That's right, Berkshire Bach.
Yep.
He's back. Berkshire
Bach is back. yes, Berkshire Bach. Oh, there's a tongue twister for you. Right. So it's a New Year's Baroque concerto showcase. With violinist Eugene Drucker from the Emerson Quartet. The Emerson String Quartet is really one of the first finest string quartets going. I know some of their musicians, they're really good.
And so they're Eugene Drucker from the Emerson is conducting this Bach concert. I mean, the reason that it's an event is, I mean, it's always been an event, but they suspended for COVID. Mm-hmm. They actually had their New Year's Eve concert last year in April because they were... You know, it was too risky to do it in December. But they perform in three locations. They're in, where are they? They're
in Great Barrington.
Right.
And then they're in Troy.
Right.
On January 1st, they're in Troy. On New Year's Eve, they're in Great Barrington at the Mahaley. And then on January 2nd, they're at the Academy of Music in Northampton.
Right. So if
you're looking for the Mahaley, just information, go to mahaley.org, and they'll have the information.
Yes, or go to our website, to our calendar. I mean, go find this article, and we have a link for tickets. They're also on our calendar, berkshirescalendar.com. You can find a whole explanation with links for tickets, because there are tickets in three different locations.
Okay.
They're performing in three different locations. So
and I should point out that the performance in Great Barrington at the Mahaley is in the afternoon, 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we have one more story left.
Sunday, January 1st.
We have one more story left, but we're going to have to put off Greylock Glen till next week because we are way over time here.
We're over time?
Over time.
Oh, my gosh.
We started late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want you guys to have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you next year.
Yes, Happy
next
New Year.
Oh, yes. Yes, Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year, guys.
May next year be better than this one.
Yes.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Bye.
The BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them, the BerkshireEdge.com on the web.